Coming up, we've got Mummy Fever. How about you? The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. How are we all doing today? I'm doing great. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. And we have a very exciting episode for you today. As we said last week, we've got that mummy feeling vibe going on right now, and we are going to roll right along with it. At this time, we've already told you our thoughts. Well, Rhino's at least told you his thoughts and opinions on the mummy, the brand new Tom Cruise Start of the Dark Universe mummy. I may or may not haven't. We're recording this a week ahead of time, so Gash knows how I actually feel about that. Maybe good, maybe bad. Really doesn't matter anyway at all, because we're not here to talk about that movie. We are here to talk about The Mummy in general. You excited?
Yeah. Oh, I'm always excited about mummies.
Yeah, but not really.
Are you my mummy?
Not really. Are you my mummy? No, we're not talking about the Doctor Who mummies. We're talking about, technically we're talking about Revenge of the Mummy. This is a ride review episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, we have to give a little bit of history in terms of that, too. So it's going to go a little bit deeper than just than just the mummy movies that came out. Because, well, as we've said on other episodes before, it's the mummy really goes back a lot deeper in terms of the history of Universal, because the mummy came out in 1932 originally. It was part of the Universal Classic Monsters. I mean, they weren't known as that all the way back then. They were just Universal Monsters in that time. But the movie was just one of the great Universal Classic Monsters movies. Of course, Boris Karloff played the mummy. Mm-hmm. He played the mummy, but we know his name as Imhotep.
So
one of the things
was his name Imhotep in the original too.
It was, yeah. Actually, one of the things they did carry over. Obviously, the movies, the original Mummy and the reboot of the Mummy with Brendan Fraser, have many differences. I don't want to say that they're the exact same, but they do have differences. One of the similarities is that the mummy's name is Imhotep. You have Anaxanamun, the princess.
Was she also a princess too?
Yeah, she's a princess as well in that. And you know, so they keep those names, the ideas. I believe it's been a while since I've watched the Mummy. I think about 2 years now, but I believe in the Brendan Fraser one, it's the Book of the Dead that brings it back to life. But I believe in the classic mummy film, it's the Scroll of Life that brings the mummy to life. I could be very wrong about that, but
well, they added the Book of the Living in the second one, right?
Yeah, I think they did too. It's been even longer since I've watched the Mummy Returns, you know, because hot air balloons in Egypt just make absolutely no sense at all together. But yeah, so The Mummy, 1932, Boris Karloff, you might also remember him from a little movie called Frankenstein, if you're a fan of Universal Classic Monsters. He was also Frankenstein. But you know, the Mummy just it has an interesting legacy in terms of the Universal Classic Monsters universe, because it actually was one of the few ones to not really get a direct sequel. So because like Frankenstein had Bride of Frankenstein and continued its legacy, but the Mummy didn't get anything else. It got kind of a reboot with the Mummy's Hand in 1940, and then that kind of spurred some sequels with the Mummy's Tomb, the Mummy's Ghost, the Mummy's Curse, and then In terms of the classic monsters universe, it wrapped up with Abbott and Costello meet the Mummy, which, you know, you throw Abbott and Costello and classic monsters into it, and then you just get some great stuff. So the Mummy was kind of revived back in the 50s through the 70s with Hammer Horror, which, if you're not familiar with that, it's kind of like the next generation of these classic monsters, mm-hmm. in a reborn way, but through the Brits with Hammer Films. So some of these are not that good, but if you're definitely interested in these characters, these monsters, it's definitely something that you absolutely should look into, because some of the movies are very, very good. But that leads us up to the great old year of 1999, which, Rhino, I know you remember what you were doing back in 1999.
Yeah, I do. Going to see The Mummy.
Yeah, you were going to see the movie, The Mummy. So then we jumped.
Pretty sure I saw this in the theaters. I remember when it was coming out. Like, I remember the previews for it.
I honestly don't think I saw The Mummy in the theaters. I think it was one of those surprises. And when it came on VHS back then, or DVD even.
I had it on VHS, the original one, yeah.
I think I watched it, and I was like, oh, that's a surprise. This is really good.
Was this the same year as Star Wars, or this is the year after?
This would have been the same exact year as Star Wars.
Okay, so that's what I remember. I remember it being
2002.
Actually, I lied and said I was going to see it in the movie theater because my mom wanted me to wait to see it when my dad was like deployed somewhere and I was terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't want to wait. And so I said I was going to see The Mummy and I went into Star Wars. What a mistake.
Yeah, I mean,
what a mistake.
I think in terms of history,
I did end up seeing The Mummy too in the theater.
As much as we're both Star Wars fans, I think I would actually rather watch The Mummy than The Phantom Menace. And that might be original, sacrilege.
No. Because this was like, it was like, essentially the first Brendan Fraser Mummy movie was like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And that's what was so great about it. It had that same feeling of like a modern Indiana Jones.
No, and I would argue that one of the only there was several movies afterwards that captured that exact same magic. The first Pirates of the Caribbean movie had that same action adventure, mm-hmm. fun to it. And then if we move on forward to National Treasure, I feel like National Treasure also had that fun, goofy campiness to it. Really good time. But the first Mummy movie was, it ended up being actually kind of a surprise hit. As I said, it opened up in 1999. I believe it opened up just slightly before Star Wars, and that probably ended up killing how well it really could have done worldwide. But for those of you who don't remember, basically, it's the story of an expedition that goes to Egypt on a dig site, Rachel Weisz was there. And
well, it's like during World War One, right, or something, it was
sometime after that. It takes place in the 20s. So
okay,
so right, it's after World War One.
I thought there was some sort of battle, and that's how Brendan Fraser ended up in the desert in the beginning, because he was out there before it happened.
Yeah,
and then there's some time passes or something.
Yeah, and I mean, we're just going in basic. Into the plot of it.
I guess it doesn't really affect the ride per se.
Yeah. So but in terms, so they're out there looking for the Book of the Living. According to this, but there's an American expedition out there, British expedition. They're all looking for the same stuff, but the Americans end up discovering the Book of the Dead. And then also the jars that are containing
Canopy jars,
Anaxanamun, which, can we just have an episode where we say Anaxanamun over and over again? Anaxanamun. Oh gosh, Arnold Vosloo, whatever happened to him?
He went to be on Bones several times.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he was David Boreanaz's nemesis, and I was like, this guy does not look quite as menacing as he did in the Mummy, but
no, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So basically, they call her Evie in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. That's Brendan mm-hmm. Fraser's pet name for her.
Yeah,
and as well as her brother John's.
Yes, I love the brother,
played by, I believe, John Hannah is his name, or John Hyde, one of them.
John Hannah, you're
John
right.
Hannah. Yeah. And so basically, she reads from the Book of the Dead, awakes Imhotep, and then Imhotep starts He starts basically coming after.
Just terrorizing, yeah.
Yeah, terrorizing.
You've got yourselves, you know, and there's a lot of those classic mummy motif kind of things, yeah, in there. You got the scarab beetles and,
yeah,
and you know, you said the canopy jars and stuff. That's, yeah, even how you say it. I think that's how you say it, but...
Yeah, and, you know, then it becomes Brendan Fraser, some Americans who get wiped out quickly one by one. Rachel Weisz and the brother all going up against Imhotep, and alongside by what's his name? I cannot think of it. The guy who then went on to be in Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
Oh, the Magi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's his name in real life?
I
Jonathan Hyde? Is that who? No.
No, I can't remember what his name is. Gosh, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. But it's in it too. Again, none of this matters. Just giving you an idea of what happens in the very first Mummy movie, because, you know, this becomes a hit and then it spawns the sequel. I know you're looking it up right now.
Yeah. I can't.
It's
hard to see.
It's, yeah, well, you're blind. So.
You're blind.
I should have looked up Mummy Returns. He's probably higher up on the cast list than that one, because I forgot about all the Americans from the first movie until you just mentioned that. Yeah. And then I remember they're getting picked off. One goes blind, yeah, and then the one eats the other one.
Yeah, it absolutely happens in that. So
Oded Fehr, is that who?
Yeah. That's, thank you.
The Magi. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those names. You know, it's always on the tip of your tongue, and you just can't quite get it out, but. Okay, so yeah, then in 2001, I believe just like 2 years later, then we have The Mummy Returns, which we're not going into any of that. But then,
it gave us the Dwayne The Rock Johnson's premiere into cinema.
Yes, and he was the Scorpion King at the end of that film, which spawned a spinoff with his own movie of The Scorpion King. And then finally, years later, we kind of come back around and we get a third Mummy movie that brings Brendan Fraser back on the big screen. But where does all of this take place in terms of with Revenge of the Mummy, the great attraction at Universal Orlando? So basically, what happens is The Mummy comes out. It's a big success. And Universal decides that they want to do a dark ride about it, which, why wouldn't they? It is a Universal movie. So they go about starting to design it. The process, it took just a little while, not super long. So they were able to get a Mummy ride out pretty quickly. So it opened in May of 2004. And basically, The Revenge of the Mummy is a direct sequel to The Mummy. So, and it's a sequel entitled, Rhino, do you know what the sequel's entitled?
Revenge of the Mummy?
That's absolutely correct. It's almost like they wanted to play it so on the nose that they made it the name of the ride. So, yes, Revenge of the Mummy. This is the new film that they're setting up, a fictional sequel that they're trying to get set up to get ready to do it in the old building that they had to kick out King Kong for. Which is really sad. I never got to experience King Kong. So.
I was too afraid to do it when I was a kid because I thought it really brought you up that high. Also, did you know there are 4 Scorpion King movies?
I did not know there were that many.
That makes me nauseous. One was just released in 2015. All straight to duty, but
yeah.
A cool memory I have of when I was a kid coming to Universal. Or I guess if you're telling me 2004, it would have been between. It could have even been right before the movie came out, before the first Mummy movie came out, because that's, I think, the last time I went before 2003, or before I was older. So they had props from the movie at the park. I remember seeing the book, and I remember the key, and I remember they were all out in the street, like outside of where kind of in that area where the at least this is where I'm remembering them, was in that area outside of the attraction. So this would have been 98. Yeah, it would have been before the movie came out.
Wow.
98 or... I was in eighth grade, so it could have been 99. Yeah. Oh. So I just have that very specific memory of getting to see all these really cool props from this Mummy movie. And that's another reason why I always enjoyed Universal, because I was like, whoa, I got to see this.
Did you take pictures, though?
Well, I'll tell you what. We probably did, but my mother, I have discovered recently a shoebox, and it was filled with rolls of film. And so now it's really expensive to develop film again. Yeah. So we've been sending them off one at a time. And I recently just got a rollback that had me with the DeLorean from when I was a kid at Back to the Future, from out front of the Time Institute. So I'll have to call my mom and see if I can bring some of these for the show or something like that, because I know I definitely have photos of those props.
We'll write it off. Yeah. So we'll do it as a tax write-off.
That's a $30 roll of film. And I bet like two photos. The problem is because it's in a shoebox and she didn't take care of it. Essentially, the 32 pictures you took, two or three come out okay now. So it's like, well, my childhood, whatever.
Yeah, you know. It's
cool.
That's the problem with time, you know. If only we could have always been digital, then it would have just made all of our lives simpler. But
put it in a bottle.
Sorry. Oh, I thought you were about to go in and start singing some Christina Aguilera, some Genies in a Bottle, and all that good stuff. No? Okay, just me. Fantastic.
Take your genie bottle, rub it all over.
So
that's a Community reference, sorry.
I know. And so, yeah, basically you have the Museum of Antiquities, and that's your facade for the Revenge of the Mummy. It looks like a grand museum. You're going inside, and you start off by walking through, and you can kind of see, like, it's almost like a prop warehouse of sorts. And in here, you're seeing making ofs from the original Mummy movie, but then also there's more videos that explain that, you know, this fictional sequel is being currently made right now, Revenge of the Mummy, and the curse of the mummy, this fictional curse that, you know, has caused accidents and stuff on set. They're starting to believe that it might actually be real.
Like an exorcist scenario.
Exactly.
They've actually, because apparently, like, the prop guy used, are you about to say that? The prop department's used an actual... They wanted it to be real, so they found these real things.
Well, they have that, and so there's another part of it, though, where, you know, people need the Magi symbol to keep them protected from the curse, and yeah, that's it's one of those things. The story is very, very hard to get on average when you're going through the mummy queue, because anymore you don't really go slowly through this part unless it's a very, very busy day. So this is a lot of the backstory that you just can't quite get anymore. But skipping ahead to the spoiler in the end, we all know that Brendan Fraser demands his cup of coffee, exactly. And so he gets his cup of coffee from this skeleton arm that kind of just pokes its hand out.
Thanks.
And skip before that, there's a in the original video, there is a craft service person who won't give him his coffee because he's not wearing the Magi symbol and all that. And, you know, this is just the opening to the part, and you see props from the ride or from the movie and just little things like that. But then you're basically transported really quickly to the actual set, and you're at this archaeological dig in Egypt, and it's a very, very beautiful beautifully themed on the inside. If you've been over to Indiana Jones Adventure in Disneyland, think along those lines, kind of. It has that almost that exact same feel to it. It's absolutely beautiful inside. It's one of my favorite cues. But I also love how when you go through some of the twists and turns inside, there's little surprises and moments that you can scare yourself. And we talked about it. I don't even know if you were on the show. This might have been all the way back to the Sean days that we would talk about it. There's one part of the queue where if you get a group of people and you all put your hands on certain triggers at the same time, it will trigger off the NBC. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah. That's.
Oh, that's cool.
It's something we could never get to work, but people who worked at the Mummy, at Revenge of the Mummy, told us that it absolutely worked. But, there's just so many cool details as you make your way.
I'm reading about this, like, little hidden King Kong thing I got to go look for the next time.
There's a hidden King Kong thing in there?
Yeah, there's a golden statue of King Kong in the second scene of the ride, apparently.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. So I've never seen that. So I'm assuming in the scene with all the jewels that we'll talk about in a minute.
So let's just jump into it. So you make your way through the queue. Beautiful, as I just said.
Yeah, wonderful.
And you get into your cart, which is, you know, three rows and four seats in each row. It's kind of looks like it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be like a simulator type of cart, but it's actually not. It appears by all sorts that it's actually going to be a slow moving dark ride, because then the ride starts and you move off slowly into the dark ride. You round the corner, and the first thing you hear is Reggie, part of the crew, who's warning everyone that the curse is real and to get out, as he's all wrapped up in his sarcophagus form, and out of nowhere, Imhotep busts out and does his silence.
I didn't know that Reggie was shouting for you to find the Magi symbol.
Yeah, it all goes back to the Magi symbol. Only the Magi can save you now.
I feel like the Imhotep, is it Imhotep? I'm sorry. Yeah, Imhotep.
Yeah.
I feel like he shouts over that part, so I've never really heard that part before. It's something like, maybe I just couldn't understand what he was saying. I could understand, like, oh, it's a trap, get out of here, you know. So I'm going to have to, like, really, really listen for this next time.
Yeah, but, so, no, you listen very closely to it. It is loud, it over distracts from it. It takes in some of the elements from that pre-cue video that you have to pay attention to in order to get to that part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Imhotep pops out and he wants to take all of our souls. And so you round the corner into a dark room, and this is that second room that you were talking about. And there's this giant mural that Imhotep's trying to kind of like lure us into and give us all your riches. But then things go sour, and the mummy, I don't know what they would actually be called, but soldiers, they pop up on both sides of you, and like it really catches you off guard the very first time you ride this. Because they pop up
and then there's fire coming out of everywhere, and you're like, oh, good Lord. Like, it got really intense really quickly.
it absolutely does. And so then it starts to appear that, like, if you don't get out of this room, the wall's going to come down and it's going to trap you in there forever. So you quickly shoot out, and then you go into this room where this creepy room. There's all these beetles that start pulling out the scarabs, and this is the first exciting part of this, because, you know, it is moving relatively slow up to this point, but this is where you shoot out and you go backwards and you start to make your approach backwards and pull into the station, and that's when Imhotep's face pops up in front of you and warns you as you start to turn around 180 degrees. That's when he warns you. One of our favorite sayings here at the Diz, because of our own John Magi.
Yeah.
We always say, not even the Magi can save you now, even though, you know, it doesn't really work. But we always make that joke. But that's when you start to launch up the lift hills and Imhotep saying, your souls are mine. And this is when you go into the roller coaster portion of the attraction. Up until this point, you know, if you weren't familiar at all with it, you might think it's just a dark ride. But then you go into the roller coaster portion, which is, you know, I don't want to say it's thrilling by any means. I would put it on the level of, if you're familiar with Disney, like the intensity of maybe a Big Thunder Mountain.
Like a really smooth Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's by no means super intense, but you know, it's completely black in there. They have black light mummies in there and Imhoteps, and that all look like they're coming at you. But then suddenly, in the middle of the ride just completely halts, and it looks like there's a ride operator up in a booth, like kind of starting to be like, okay, well, you know, it's thanks for riding, guys. Thanks for being there. But then Imhotep pops out, sucks out her soul like he does. And this is the big fire effect then it's right
really
above
cool.
you.
Yeah, really cool.
It fire lights up all over the ceiling, and he's trying to get you one more time, and you shoot off into the darkness again, get your picture taken, because what kind of roller coaster would it be without getting your picture taken? And you travel through some tunnels until you wind right back up with Brendan Fraser as Rick O'Connell sitting there just smiling and, of course, welcoming us back, and then violently getting angry, having to do the interview without his cup of coffee that he ended up never getting. And as we said earlier, hands him the coffee, and then the world is complete. Brendan Fraser, once again, is relevant for us. So,
always and forever.
Yes. So just an absolutely phenomenal attraction. I think one of all of our favorites. It opened up in Hollywood also in 2004, very shortly after. A complete different ride, though. Where ours is...
Hollywood one's a minute long, less than the...
Yeah, Hollywood's is very short.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't... It's just...
Hollywood, it doesn't have that end. It doesn't have the fire, the attendant at the end and suck out the fire. It kind of like...
It doesn't
the
end have is Brendan Fraser either.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't have any of that elements. This is like with the Hollywood version, it's more like you are in this sequel, Revenge of the Mummy, not the making of it. You're just in it. And so
yeah.
it lacks some of the theatrics that go along with this one. I will say, in terms of this one, I think of the two, I think Hollywood's is a bit more thrilling. It's a bit more roller coaster-ish.
I think they do the dark effect a little bit better. Like when it is completely dark and there's lightning, like that effect, like you can't see the track or anything, so it makes it like ghosts in the wind, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool. No, it is. It's very, very different. Completely. As a whole, overall, I prefer ours in Universal Studios Florida to Hollywood's. While it's a great ride, it's a great thrill ride, it's definitely worth doing. You can't go there and say...
Yeah, you can't not do it
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you can't say, like, I've done it in Florida, so I don't have to do this one. You have to, because it is very different. It's you're probably going to walk away a little disappointed. But if you look at it as two different rides, still really good. The only problem with theirs is it killed off their E.T., which
that's where E.T. was.
That's where their E.T. was. And it's also out in Singapore, but I've never been to Singapore, so I don't know any information about that.
This says it's identical to the Florida one.
Okay, there you go.
Except for, but then I read the ride and it doesn't sound identical. So, because it's not quite the making of the movie. I think it just means maybe the track is identical to the Florida one.
Yeah, it's probably the track's identical, but then the story's slightly different. But it's a really great attraction. It won some Golden Ticket Awards throughout the years for Best Indoor Coaster. This is a tough one because we have to think about the indoor coasters that we have in Florida, but we have Revenge of the Mummy, Space Mountain.
Or no, Rip Ride Rocket, I'm sorry.
And Rock and Roller Coaster,
yeah.
And I, as much as I love the nostalgia of Space Mountain, as much as I love the speed and the thrill of Rock and Roller Coaster and the blend of the Aerosmith music, as a whole overall, Revenge of the Mummy may be the most unique too.
Well, it's not just exciting. Compared to those three, I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster is very smooth as well, but, and I know Rock and Roller Coaster goes about 15 miles faster than this one does, but the theming is a little cheesy inside of Rock and Roller Coaster because it's all neon Hollywood signs, and like that's fine. That is what it is.
That's
but it offers those cool effects. Like it offers that big room. It offers that scarab effect. It offers the fire on the ceiling, and it does do the cheesy neon signs as well. But I don't know. I think it tells a more complete story.
It absolutely does, and I think that's a lot of its appeal, and that's why before we decide whether it should or should not be in our Universal Hall of Fame, as we always do when we do these ride reviews, I think it is important to note that it is such a good story from start to finish. It tells that story the entire way too. I believe it to a point. It does immerse you into it. The black light effects do kind of take away from that a little bit, but the story does have a start, a middle, and an ending, which I enjoy about that. And so the question I raise is, we talked last week about if The Mummy is a global success, the 2017 Tom Cruise one, will they change it up? I said they probably will. But is it worth it to change it up when you have such a good story here? Even though the movie might not be as relevant anymore, Is it the fact that the ride has a good story and people love it? Is that enough to keep this going?
Well, I doubt that they'd be able to. I mean, potentially they could just retheme it to be like they're filming the Tom Cruise Mummy movie. Yeah. But I feel like they already would have done that if that was the approach they were going to take. But as far as like giving it a little bit of a just like, I wouldn't even call it a refurb. I don't know. I think the adjustments required to make it a little more, like, I don't want to say relevant, but a little more modernized.
Yeah.
It seems fairly minimal. Like, you wouldn't have to really alter the actual story being... Well, I guess you wouldn't know what the Magi is.
Yeah.
Assuming there's a... I don't know that there's a Magi or not in the new Mummy movies. And, like, that is an element from the Brendan Fraser movies. So, yeah. It's kind of like you'd have to tweak the story a little bit, probably.
This is all very, very difficult because... And that's why I pointed that out to you. I asked you that question first because it is incredibly difficult to think. Like, I think, and I'll say it right now, I think this is a Hall of Fame worthy attraction. Never did King Kong in Confrontation. I didn't do that. I'm sure that is also by standard, it is King Kong and Universal. It has to be a Hall of Fame attraction. But I think this was honestly, even though it's vastly different, I think it still is a Hall of Fame attraction. But it fights that new battle with Universal of relevance versus... I don't even know what the battle exactly.
I do agree. I think it is definitely a Hall of Fame attraction. I'll agree with you because it's like what we just said. As far as roller coasters go, period, it's definitely one of the ones that tells a complete story, and it does it in a unique way. And it does it essentially combines the stuff I love about dark rides, but turns it into a roller coaster. And there are, like, now that I'm thinking about it, there's not really a lot of things that do that. And honestly, I wish that had been, like, maybe the future of attractions had been more thrilling, like Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was not necessarily a roller coaster, but it's exciting and it's scary. And but it's really, really cool themed inside. Well, and this for me, fits in that same realm.
And so where I was trying to go with this is Universal lately has been on the relevance bandwagon, throwing together a Fast and Furious attraction, a Jimmy Fallon attraction, because they are relevant right now.
Modernizing
and they're
their
big
park.
And they want it modern, and that's the attempt they were going to take with it. But at the core, with Jimmy Fallon at least, it's not a great ride. So one day they will have to get rid of it because it will no longer be relevant and it's not a great ride. Men in Black fits in the same category as Revenge of the Mummy. I don't think either the Men in Black series or the Mummy series, while still known and still loved by our generations, they are no longer relevant at all. But are both of those attractions so good that they have to bypass the relevance? I mean, in some cases, then you have a classic attraction like Jaws or Back to the Future, still relevant, still a great ride. Well, but
here's the issue that they face a little bit too, is that everything in their parks is synergized. It's all based on things. It's not at Disney where you can have, or at least not that I can think of, there's no original attraction. You know what I mean? There's no it's all from something else. It's all based on another
property. With the exception of like Universal Horror Makeup Show, which even though it borrows from Universal properties, the concept of the show as a whole is their original idea.
Yeah. But this, for me, like, essentially, if you want to keep this the Mummy and make it a little more timeless, I think essentially... Well, I don't know. Do you really have to remove the Brendan Fraser stuff? Because I was thinking, like, you could remove that and make it more, less specific and more, generalized or whatever. You know, then you could essentially just still always keep it that they're filming a Mummy movie.
Yeah.
And this is the plot, you know? And, well, essentially you could say that that's still being fulfilled by this. So, like... I don't think you have to have seen the movies to appreciate the attraction. So I don't know.
Well, here's the deal. I think it should be in the Universal Hall of Fame. You?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so instead of us sitting here going back and forth, scratching our heads about it, I want to hear from everyone out there. What do you think about Revenge of the Mummy? Do you think it does fall into this level that it should not be touched at all? Do you find it relevant at all? What should they do? Should they try to bring in the new Mummy movie in the Dark Universe, regardless of whether or not it's a success, just because, or do we just keep it as this classic and say that maybe some of these, maybe some of these attractions, despite the movie no longer meaning the same amount, still should have a purpose at Universal Studios Florida? Because I really want to know. And just as a whole, yeah, comment down below. Let us know what you think of Revenge of the Mummy, because I am always interested in hearing what everyone else thinks about some of our favorite rides. So I, of course, we'll let you vote on it too on the boards. I don't know if I ever put it up for Dragon Challenge. I don't think I did, because again, I was in the middle of the sea on a cruise, which I do apologize by that, because I know some of y'all have fun voting on it and seeing the results. But because I worked at Dragon Challenge, it's officially in our Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying. But we'll let you decide on Revenge of the Mummy. So that will be on Disboards at some point today or tomorrow, since, again, I'll be on vacation. But at least I won't be in the middle of the sea this time for that vacation. And
top of a mountain.
I'll be on top of a mountain. That's where I'll be. But for real, though. So, no, thank you guys out there so much for watching and listening to this. Of course, if you enjoyed it, make sure you head out to our show notes page. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it lost me for a second. Sorry, went to black there. Make sure you head to our show notes page, DizUnplugged.com. That's where you can find links to this show and all the other great shows on the Diz Unplugged podcast network. That's where you can find links to our social media channels. Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the rest. And make sure, while you're watching this here on YouTube, if you're watching this and not listening, make sure you're liking it, commenting if you have stuff to say, as I already asked you before, and then also sharing, because as always, sharing is caring. Along with that, if you are one of those great listeners out there, make sure you are subscribing and rating us on iTunes. We always enjoy that feedback. So again, guys, thank you so much out there. We really do appreciate it. Rhino, thank you so much for having this conversation with me today. It was fun and great. And next week, what we're going to be doing is we are going to have one of our very famous email shows. So what I need y'all to do is start sending us questions at uopodcast@disunplugged.com. Again, that's uopodcast@disunplugged.com. Send us any questions you might have about anything. We are semi-experts. That's what I'm saying, because I feel we keep getting dumber and dumber as each day goes on. So at this point, I'm starting to be the only thing I'm an expert at is Chipotle. But send us your questions. I'll open up a thread on Facebook closer to that show where you'll be able to post more questions and just get them to us, so that way we can have that fun show. So we will be back again with you next week for another edition of the Universal edition of the Diz Unplugged. But until then, remember, we're not doing resolutions this week. See y'all. Thanks.